Good evening. I'm Erin Granger with the KUAC Newsminer Update. The Alaska State Legislature ended its session early Sunday morning after agreeing on a state budget. Alaska Public Media and KTOO report that the spending plan lines out $5.4 billion for operating expenditures legislators focus on. That's over $400 million more than the current budget. Most of the increase is for a boost to the permanent fund dividend check, which would be $1,600 this fall. The budget includes a first-ever draw from the Alaska Permanent Fund earnings to pay for government services, a move Bethel Democratic Senator Lyman Hoffman calls an important step.
I believe that it's historic that we are using what many refer to as the rainy day account for the first time.
The budget also includes a nearly $1 billion transfer from permanent fund earnings to the fund's principal to keep up with inflation. The legislature also passed the capital budget, which includes another $26 million for public schools, $20 million for the Port of Anchorage, funds for an enhanced statewide 911 system, and money to cover most of a shortfall in Medicaid funding. Nome Democratic Representative Neil Foster says lawmakers made concessions to reach the agreement.
I realize that we may not get everyone's vote for this budget, but we've been able to get enough support to get it this far. The capital budget is the product of compromise, and it's the result of folks who want the best for the state.
Governor Walker held a 2:30 a.m. press availability Sunday after lawmakers adjourned. He says the permanent fund draw represents progress.
It gives predictability. It protects the dividend going forward. It protects the permanent fund. And it closed 80% of the fiscal gap. We went from a $3.7 billion hole to a $700 million hole. Boy, that's a significant step. Is it done? No, it's not.
The remaining budget gap would be covered with a draw from the Constitutional Budget Reserve. The size of the gap and the draw depend on the price of oil. Other major bills approved before adjournment include a bond sale to pay off oil and gas tax credits, a ban on smoking in workplaces, and an overhaul of state workers' compensation system. An ethics bill prohibits lawmakers from raising money from foreign donors and prevents them from collecting per diems if they don't pass a budget by the 121st day of legislative sessions. Governor Walker must decide whether to sign the bills before they become law. State fishery managers are cautiously optimistic about this summer's Yukon River King salmon return. Another indication that the run is continuing to recover, state biologist Holly Carroll says the 2018 return is forecast to come in somewhere between 173,000 and 251,000 fish.
That is a below-average run from a long-term perspective, but like last year, it could provide enough fish for pretty good, almost normal subsistence fishing.
263,000 kings were counted entering the Yukon River last summer, well above the preseason forecast. Carroll says genetics techniques used for forecasting are improving.
Last year, we did a different method for estimating the drainage wide than we're using now. We're now incorporating a better understanding of the average genetic component of the stocks present. And we now know that the Canadian origin run makes up, on average, about 41% of the run, which means that nearly 60% of the run are the Alaskan stocks. And using that information gives us possibly a more accurate drainage wide estimate.
Carroll notes that another preseason king forecast based on Yukon River salmon in the Bering Sea is even more optimistic.
Forecasting a slightly larger run than what we've officially put out. And so that just gives us hope that we should see the run come in at the upper end of our forecast.
Forecasts aside, Carroll stresses that the fishery manager's general strategy will remain conservative, but the plan is to swap previous year's short-notice openings in favor of a more regular but initially limited fishing schedule.
People can expect to be fishing about half as much time as would be allowed by regulation. And then as we gain confidence in the run size, we may be able to open up to full regulatory window schedule, but that may be later in the season.
Carroll notes that if the king run comes in strong, commercial summer chum fishermen may be allowed to keep or even sell bycatch kings. The first Chinook are expected to cross the Yukon River Delta mid-May, with the first big pulse expected a month later. Flooding that halted Alaska Railroad trains north of Talkeetna Saturday has receded, but train traffic remains shut down between Anchorage and Fairbanks. Railroad spokesman Tim Sullivan says that's because the Susitna River ice jam flooding left behind a mess.
6 to 8 foot high wall of ice over the course of well over 1,000 feet, maybe close to half a mile of ice that we need to get cleared out of there. And in some places, it has pushed the track off the track bed as far as 25 feet. So our crews are working to get that ice out of there and get the tracks back on the track bed.
Sullivan says the impacted track is in the Curry area, about 22 miles north of Talkeetna. He says the railroad's final winter season trains were halted by the flooding Saturday, and buses were used to move the travelers. He says the goal is to complete cleanup and repairs in time for Wednesday's scheduled start of the railroad's daily summer passenger service between Anchorage and Fairbanks.
This window is something we're going to try and take as much advantage of as we possibly can, and get those tracks cleared up and everything back into good shape so we can have our service going on Wednesday.
For more on tonight's stories and others, go to newsminer.com or KUAC.org. I'm Erin Granger.